Amen. If you have the Word of God, please take the Bible and let's turn to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. We'll look at a few verses here and then we want to progress to the second chapter. And I'll try to get it all in. We do have quite a few folks sick today, and you can see who's not here, but thank God for a full house all the same. Amen. If Christ does not have the preeminence in our life, we're not going to have the proficient life He desires for us. I appreciate the song that was just sang. And it does show that our Lord and Savior, His incredible love for us, His incredible unwavering faithfulness to us. But we will not maximize in those things, those doctrines of mercy and grace and reconciliation, redemption. And what I mean by redemption in God, what He has purchased for, He just has not purchased salvation. But everything that would give Him glory in our life. So when I'm speaking of redemption there, I'm not necessarily speaking of just merely heaven. And that's great. Amen. But I'm speaking of everything that God wants us to be and have and do for His glory in this life. And He is faithful. He is true. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And we say amen to those things, but to give Him glory, He has to have preeminence. And for Him to have preeminence, we have to understand He has to be not one on a list, not number one on a list, but the only one on the list. You see, preeminence doesn't mean Jesus is number one. That means He's just the only one there. Now, I know I told you to turn to John 2, but I want you to notice something in Colossians here where Paul is writing, and we'll come back to this because there's a lot of points here in Colossians that deal with what I'm speaking of this morning. In Colossians chapter number 1, I'm going to have to get me a new Bible for more than one reason. I can't hardly see up here. Brother Ron's making fun of me about the words I was speaking of the other night. I don't want to break his heart and tell him I just can't see up here. That means I'm getting old. Yeah. And I scribble so much in my Bible and notes and everything. But in Colossians chapter number 1, notice what Paul said in verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church. That's just not a doctrinal verse there pertaining to the church. Colossians 1 verse 18. The church is not the brick and mortar. The church is the individuals who have been bought by His blood. And the head makes the decisions. Not just for the corporate congregation, but for the individual sitting in the pew about their daily lives and what they do, where they go, how they go. That's what the head is. And if we are going to get all that God has for us, all that He has purchased for us, all that our children, we want for our children and grandchildren, He must have the preeminence. He must have it. We can pull and pray on God's mercy and grace and He'll give it to us as much as we will allow Him to have in our life. You see, when my kids come to something, to me for something, I'll give them what I can give them. But there's some things that if they are not walking in obedience, I'm forced to just cut it short of what I fully can give them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so if Christ does not have this preeminence, the head makes the decisions. And in the head of the body, look here, is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, then all things that He might have the, what's this word here? Preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness dwell. And we're in Christ. All of God's promises are yea and amen. Think about that. What I'm saying is this morning. Let's go back to John chapter 1. Beginning in Jesus' ministry here, we see Nathanael and the disciples being summoned or called together, if you will. God's working, God's stirring, and these disciples are coming together. Andrew finding Peter, and they're just talking and collaborating, and next thing you know, they're all sitting at Jesus' feet. Next thing you know, Jesus' ministry is about to begin. And we pick up here in verse number 41. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, that's very important, Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, in the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. Nathanael saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can anything good come out of what? Nazareth. Philip said unto him, Come and see. Now where's Nathanael at? He's in Galilee, right? All right, just keep that in mind. Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Let me just point this out. If Christ is going to have the preeminence, if he does have the preeminence, that means we will have a pure heart. God does not bless shadiness. God does not bless a disobedient life. You see, again, we can pull down. Say, God, I know you love me. And we can get all emotionally stirred about the goodness and tenderness and the graciousness of God. But the fact of the matter is, we're limiting what God can do in our life if He does not have the preeminence. We're limiting it. And if we're limiting what God can give us and what God can, and how much we can glorify God, then we're really not glorifying God. Amen. So we have to understand Nathanael is saying something. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, Jesus is about to speak to this man and say something here. Verse 47. Now, Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, whom there is no guile. Now, verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, some believe, and historians believe, that under the fig tree is an expression. I mean, how many of you know we all have cultural colloquialisms and expressions and, that, things like that. And that phrase means a definition. Right? How many ever heard that dog won't hunt? What does that mean? That means this is not going to work. Well, that under the fig tree, some believe, means that's where people go to study the Scripture. That's a figurative speech. That's an analogy or a colloquialism, if you will. So in other words, when Jesus saw Nathanael, the Scripture had preeminence in his life. Now look what that is about to do in this man's life. It's about to introduce him and get him within elbow's distance of the Creator of the world. Do you think that this man is about to fulfill his destiny in his life? I would say yes. I would say yes. He is about to embark on what God put him on this earth to do. And if God has preeminence in your life and my life, we will have a healthy diet of God's Word. And in that Word contains a body of doctrine. And we will learn from that doctrine. I want to borrow this. I've done this illustration here before. I want to borrow my son. Come here, son. Where's Wyatt? You've been helpful today. Can I borrow you? I need to borrow one other person. Everybody, oh, not me. Out of nowhere, I'm going to pick on these teens. How about you, young man, Brother Allen? Yeah, it's simple. You won't have to say nothing. You just have to let me borrow your physical constitution. That's all. Each one of these people, young men, one day, if not already, are making their decisions for their life. Every one of them are not going to make the same decision because they have different lives to live. But there is a body of doctrine in the Word of God that applies to every one of us. And I'm going to start with just some very elemental and rudimental things. Okay? Because if we don't get this, God is not going to be freed to bless you and work in your life as He would like to. You've heard me say, light obeyed is light increased. Let's say Preston got saved last week and he says, you know what? I think I'm gonna come to church and I'm gonna get baptized. And so he makes that decision. How many of you understand following the Lord and believers' baptism is in the Bible? Okay? And if you've searched the scripture, it is always after salvation. And baptism is by immersion. It's not sprinkling. So there's a body of doctrine there. So he agrees to obey God in the light of God's Word. So he takes a step forward. Okay? Let's say Wyatt here, he does the same thing. He received Christ and he's going to follow God and come to church and get baptized. All right? And Jaden's going to do the same thing. Buddy, you got saved and all these. Now, they're at the same point, right? They're moving at the same pace, they're obeying God and everything. Well, let's say Preston says, you know what, I got saved and baptized, Pastor, but I'm not going to join the church or anything. Okay, I know I want to go to heaven. I know I'm a sinner. I put my faith in Christ. But I'm not going to follow the Lord. But Wyatt says, wait a minute now. I see in God's Word, well, I ought to be a part of a Bible-believing body of a local New Testament church. And he says, you know what? I'm gonna go to the next step here because the light of God's Word says I'm going to do this. Okay? Now, this is theologically obedience to doctrine. But here's what you and I disconnect with this. In each of these individual lives, they have personal needs. And every one of these young men want these needs met. They're praying to the God they just accepted to help them with their personal needs. Who do you think is going to get their needs met quickest? Jaden comes and says, you know what? I believe I ought to be a member too. I'm seeking God and I'm going to become a member too. Yeah. And all of a sudden, God just does some wonderful things for him. And then, you know, Wyatt says, you know what? Y'all got a Sunday school class, don't you? Yeah, we have a Sunday school class. Well, I think, you know, God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And I'm going to be a part of that. So he takes another step and obeys the light that God has given him. You see, Jaden says, you know what? I'm just going to come when I can. Preston says, I'm saved and baptized, I'm going to heaven. Each one of these individuals had the same amount of light. Not every one of them is going to be blessed to the same degree as the other. Do you know what this causes in a church body? It's called envy. Why is God blessing them and He's not blessing me? You see, light obeyed is light increased. And Each one of these individuals can call and say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. Please help me. You died for me. You're the glorious master. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But God's looking down and says, look, I cannot bless disobedience. I can't bless craziness because that would make me look bad in my own who I am. I'm the righteous, holy God. So who do you think God is obligated to bless and God's obligated not to bless here? You see, we're just talking about baptism and joining the church. But what about your bitterness? What about your intermittently faithfulness? How many of you got needs here this morning? I think everybody here does. If our God can meet all our needs, then praise His holy name. We have to come back. Why isn't God? Listen, if you buy something from the store and it doesn't work, what do you do? Listen, either our God works or our Bible works or we're not doing something right. My son picks on me. Now, I'm not this IT literate. I don't know a lot about computers. When I got my phone, he didn't know it. I had turned it on. I said, how do you work this thing? And I started shaking it like this. And so they pick on me, like, you know, because I, you know. But the fact of the matter is, I already had the thing on, had it working. But I didn't know all of what's in that phone and how it works. You see, but the person who designed that phone knows it in and out. God knows your life in and out. In and out. He knows it better than you and I. He can fix it. He can work it. He can bless it. But we limit him. You see, Nathaniel said, can anything good... Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Told you didn't have to do anything. By the way, all three of these young men have a heart for the Lord, and I appreciate that. And I didn't pick them accordingly or anything. When Nathaniel said what he said, and Jesus said that statement, I saw you under the fig tree. God did not call a man into his destiny because he was being lethargic and lazy. He didn't have anything to do sitting under the fig tree. And if history says it right, this man was in the scripture. He was seeking light for what he needed. Light obeyed is light increased. Everybody comes to church and hears the same sermon. Not everybody leaves the same. Some will leave going to the next level. Some are staying where they are at. You see, Nathan was from Galilee. And what did Jesus tell him? He went on to say something, verse 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, get this, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou me? Now get that. Did he not receive light because he was already seeking light? Man, he met the light of the world. But what Jesus says here, he is talking about Nathanael's advancement even into further light. Notice what he says. Thou shalt see what? Greater things than what I just told you. Than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Chapter 2, verse 1. And that and the third day was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his what? Disciples to the marriage. Now where's this marriage happening at? Galilee. Where's Nathaniel from? He's from Galilee. He's from Galilee. What did Jesus just tell him? He's greater things than these, buddy. You're going to see. Here's what the scripture's telling us. Jesus is about to get in this man's home and do a work. Do you see that? How many need God to do some home work? You see? But Nathanael wasn't going to get to see this, and the people of his community wasn't going to get to see this unless somebody was obeying the light that was had, that was there. You see, we come to God so many times and say, God, you blessed my plans, instead of saying, God, I want to get in on your plan. We have this backward thing of, God, I've gotten my plans all worked out. Now you bless it and just make it work out for me. You know what that is? That's called self-centered life living. And this is why, listen, this is why many of you haven't moved forward. This is why your needs haven't been met. This is where you've been programmed. This is where you allowed yourself to think for 10, 20, 30 years. And this is your life. All the while, yes, you may be blood bought. Yes, you may be going to heaven, but Christ has not had the preeminence in your life. And we're not going to give God glory, and God is not going to bless His children unless we get this right. Light obeyed is light increased. And we will not seek the light truly unless Christ has the preeminence in our life. Didn't get a whole lot of amens there. But the fact is, the reason why many Christians are so discouraged, so disgruntled, as you tried to build a brick house on an ideology and in a location where God just wanted you to put up a pup tent. And what I mean by that is this. You may have obeyed some light in the Scripture, but you haven't made all the light. Listen, this is a journey. This is a journey. And the light I obeyed yesterday or 10 years ago, I still need to obey that light. But listen, if light obeyed means light, what? Increase. You see, you can give yourself to a body of doctrine and live a relatively blessed life and a clean life. But listen, the Bible isn't about seeking doctrine. It's about seeking the God who gave the doctrine. There's a difference. There's a difference. And so you see, Nathanael was from Galilee. And at some point here, the Bible says, verse 2, and Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. In verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And wine in the Bible means, typically means joy. Joyfulness. That Beulah land, we sing the hymn, I'm living in Beulah land. You see, these people had lost their joy. They had lost that what it meant to be saved. And we have to understand here that Jesus is going to Nathanael's hometown. He just told him, greater things you're going to see than these. He's going to Nathanael's hometown. And when he gets there, he's been summoned to this marriage where they have run out of wine. Jesus said in verse 4, Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now this is where it really gets personal. Jesus had been raised by Mary all his life. Joseph died at some point. But right here, Jesus is making a separation, a demarcation. This is what he's saying right here. And this is where some of us have to get. What he's saying is this. He said, look, Mary, I know you've been my mother. I know you've been put in charge of taking care of the food in the kitchen in this marriage supper right here. But you need to understand something from this point on. I'm starting my ministry. This is what he's implying here. Woman, what have I to do with your work? And this is a respectful term he's giving this woman here. Because if you compare the two, he says, my hour has not yet come. You see, if there is not a distinction in our minds that Christ must always have the preeminence. God must always have the preeminence. And this is what Jesus is telling Mary right here. My hour, what I'm doing, why I'm on this earth has not yet come. But being Mary, she turns around in verse 5 and says, his mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three foreskins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled the water them to the brim. And he says unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Jesus was distancing himself here from his mother, from relationships, to enter into something that God had for him on his earth. In other words, he was about to fulfill his destiny. You see, if sometimes even earthly relationships may hinder you from fulfilling what God wants you to fulfill. I got a text this past week, this young man. He was, I first met him. We were at a school function. It was like a year ago. And his aunt walked up to me and said, pointed to him. He's over there playing the piano, just playing it beautifully. And he said, he thinks God wants him to go to seminary. She said, where you went? And I said, oh, really? She said, maybe you need to go talk to him. And keep in mind, light obeyed, light increased, right? I go down there and I talk to him. I stand at the piano. I said, buddy, tell me what God's doing in your life. Just got real straight with him. And by the way, that's why these young people just need to be talked to. Kindly, just straight. He said, I think God wants me to go to Crown Seminary. I said, what's keeping? He said, money. I said, look, don't ever let money keep you from doing God's will. He's on the cattle on a thousand hills. You just go and let God do what he's got to do. Now, some of you, and by the way, some of that went across your thinking. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you. If we're always going to think a certain way and do a certain way because mom and daddy did so, how is God going to break through in our life? There's some things mom and daddy taught us that is right. But this idea of just packing up and going to a seminary because God said so, listen, that's Bible. Abraham did that. I'm just trying to help get you to understand and you to get the question across your mind, is Christ, does he really have the preeminence in your life today? Can he tell you whatever to do? And like Mary says, whatever he said for you to do, will you do it? This boy said, I don't even have a job. I picked the phone up, called a number. I said, look, got a guy thinking about coming down. He needs a job. He said, look, tell him he's got one. Just get down here. I said, done. What's next? Got a text. See, he went down there, light obeyed. Got a text this past week. Thought he was going down there for music. Got a text this past week. Remember, light obeyed is what? Light increased. Got a text this past week. Keep praying. God just called this boy to preach. You see, light obeyed, light increased. Jesus never condemned the disciples because they couldn't understand the next step. He never condemned because of the lack of understanding, but he did condemn them for having a lack of faith. He did. Without faith, it is impossible to please what? Him. You see, you have a next step. I have a next. What is it? If Christ will have that preeminence and he wants to bless our life and we're going to give him glory because we're obeying him at every point in every way, whether it be a practical obedience, we're letting him develop in us the right kind of disposition and spirit about our personality or who we are. If he's going to have that preeminence, beloved, we can't make excuses. We used a simple analogy here. Some people, I got excuse because I won't get baptized. I got excuse because I won't come to church on Sunday night. I got excuse. And you know what an excuse is. I don't have to tell you. But you're not hiding. You're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting everybody around you. See, I'm not hurting God. Yes, you are. Yes, we are. We're keeping God from getting the greatest glory that we could give him by an obedient life. Does he have the preeminence in your life? Does he? Does he? If this young man would have stayed and says, you know what, I'm not going to go. There's a practical obstacle right here. I'm just not going to go. I can stay. By the way, his mom and dad want him to stay home. Parents, you can get in the way of God's will, you know. Yeah. And they're godly people. They love the Lord. But he called and asked me. He said, look, his dad. And I said, look, I said, you love him, you got to let him go with God. Amen. Just as Nathaniel stepped into his destiny, Jesus said, look, I got greater things for you. And some of you have been blessed. But God has greater things for you if you will take them. And let me talk to you senior saints just a minute. I am your pastor. I know you got some years on me, but let me tell you something. Maybe you've lost the fear of God because you're older and you may be ready to depart and go to glory. But let me ask you this. What's been your motive your whole life? Fear? Or just loving Him in obedience? So, Pastor, I've lived my life. If God takes me home, I'm ready to go. Well, praise God for that. But God has left you here. You may not be afraid to die now. Because you've lived your years. But God has left you here. That may very well mean that He's got greater things for you. So I've seen God do great things. You didn't hear what I said. He's got greater things for you. That ought to encourage you. So I'm having all these problems. Well, maybe if you've started, stopped obeying the light. Boy, it's quiet. We're having church here today, right? Amen. If you all know me by now. This is real to me. I preach it real because I believe it's real. And I try to keep that in front of me. Lord, help me. I'm gonna close with Proverbs chapter number 3. Very familiar verse. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord. Read it with me. Out loud. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Am I supposed to join this church? Are you getting fed? Are you getting stirred? Are you getting convicted? Pray harder. Don't pray forever. Do I need to start coming to church more often when the doors are open? The Bible, the light of God's Word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which the manner of some of you is. That's light. When that light is obeyed, light, more light is going to be given. Light increased. And the needs that we have right here are surmounting because you haven't moved from that position to greater light. Does that make sense to you? You see, the reason why God can't meet our needs is because we're waiting to God to meet our needs right here. God will meet the needs when you take the step towards greater light. That's the reason why people are discouraged and defeated as Christians. Somewhere along the line, you stopped obeying that light. You may be in church, but there's more light. Amen. Trust your Savior. This word trust means a confident, carefree, secure, confident hope that He's got it all for you. Free of anxiety. I like that. I like studying these words here too. This word heart means this. Your deepest, deepest, most tender, inner part. You see, that's why we keep from obeying the light, because there's something tender there. Something may be fearful, but God knows, right? God knows. And lean not on thy own understanding. That simply means don't try to figure it out. Jesus never condemned the disciples because they didn't understand, but he did condemn them because they wouldn't have faith to obey what they have been given to obey. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, help us to be as these servants in John 2, where Mary said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Father, we see Nathanael stepping into greater things. His destiny. But he got there one step at a time, being the light that he had that moment. Father, there are needs all across this room here today. And we know that you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the God that provides. You're the God that breaks through. You're the Lord of hosts that fights for us. Father, as we get real this morning, as your ever scrutinizing, ever searching Holy Spirit penetrates our hearts, Lord, help us to obey in the areas you would have us to obey. And help us to see the needs be met just so simply as manna from heaven as we obey your light. Each one has a different need here today. But as Jesus broke the bread and fed the thousands, the supply was never it was never ending, always there. Father, you can do that same thing in our lives. Help us not to impede thy work in our own lives. And we'll praise you for that in Jesus' name.